5 years with Diderio, I've just enjoyed their values. They support artists and people who value art and creativity, and I think that aligns with what I want for my guitar journey.
You guys love Rig Rundowns. We love Rig Rundowns. Love, please like and subscribe so we can keep doing these Rig Rundowns.
It means a lot.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. We are downtown Nashville, Tennessee at Third Man Records with Jessica Dobson of Deep Sea Diver. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm doing really great.
This is fun to see you in person. We did a great Rig Rundown through the interwebs over Zoom a couple years ago, and yeah. It's fun to meet you in person.
I feel the same way.
We're humans. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And you have some of the same gear that we covered and some new stuff. So let's dive right into it. If you want to check out that other one, she goes at length about this Elvis Costello Jazzmaster. But tell me about it so people that aren't hip know about it.
So I got this at a guitar shop, I think it was like 2010. Someone had just sold it. And I've since like met the guy that sold it. He regrets it because I think
he only
made a few thousand of these.
Yeah.
So this is my baby, but it's, Elvis Costello version. It has a little bit different of like a tremolo arm. I like it tighter and just that perfect rosewood neck. I don't know. It's the way I want a Jazzmaster to sound, but I've never been able to find pickups that will do what these do in any other Jazzmaster.
And then those are true to the original one?
Yeah, okay. They do a mid-range thing that I haven't heard. They have like a little bit of a bite, but a little snappier, you know. Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. It cuts a little different without being shrill.
Yeah. Now, when you were on the hunt for this, was this the guitar you were after and got it? Or is it kind of you were doing a taste test and kind of fell in love with it then?
I was trying to find, so when I played with Beck, this is back in 2008, I was playing lead guitar for him. And I think we went to like the Hollywood Guitar Center at one of our rehearsals. And he saw this Jazzmaster and he was like, just very nonchalant, hey, do you want to play this one on tour? And I was like, that's a 64, yes. And I fell in love with it.
Okay.
And this is the one that reminded me the most of that guitar. Okay. So that's
you're kind of chasing it.
I was chasing it, and I found my boy.
You found an affordable version of the 64.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've done to it since then? I know you said you've talked about the arm there, but anything else?
Yeah, there's a mastery on it, the bridge. I always kind of go with those, and nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Strings and tunies, what do you use for Deep Sea Diver?
For Deep Sea Diver, mostly everything's in standard, and I'm a Diodario 11s with heavy bottom, 52.
Okay. Now, how did you get to that equation with the heavy bottoms?
I think
bottoms?
The way that I dig in, I've always, I think it was Chris Benson, I play his amps and we did this pedal together. I think it was him that he says, I like to strangle things, or like, I need tension. I want to feel it push against me.
Yeah.
Many of the people that I've set up my guitars are like, the action's too high. And since then, I've kind of gone down. But I like to fight with my guitar a little bit. So if I feel like it's just flopping like a dead fish,
yeah.
That E string, I don't know if I can play it as well.
Because you do a lot of single note melodies
exactly.
and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Is with the tension, is that what do you get out of playing when it comes to fighting? You know, that's a phrase we hear a lot in these rooms. I like to fight my guitar. I don't like it to be easy. What do you think that brings you out of it? Or brings out of you?
I mean, I think it's just part of the drama. It's like, it feels like a living, breathing thing.
Mm.
And it feels like an extension of, like, this is like a third arm for me. And it just feels like that's where the power lies, is when you get to dig in. So.
Yeah. No, the new record came out this February, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billboard Heart.
Yeah.
Two things I want to ask is, what do you feel like joining the Sub Pop team? That's a cool legacy to be joining.
Man. Absolutely. I mean, dream label.
Yeah.
They're, hometown heroes, and they've been nothing but absolutely splendid to work with, so.
And I want to ask, and I don't want to pry too deep, but I will tee it up for you, is that you put a really emotional post behind the release of this record,
mm-hmm.
and can you tell me about, like, either the growth as an artist or just yourself that, changed from Impossible Weight to Billboard Heart?
Yeah, I think kind of coming out of that record, that one kind of posed the question of, okay, I have all of these traumatic things I'm dealing with, talking about trauma, talking about anxiety, and this record kind of moves beyond that and says, well, what if you do hit the bottom of the well? Like, can you let go, and is there a freer place?
Yeah.
And I think I found, alongside my band members, that freer place on this record. It's more playful. I was just really trying to experiment more. And I think there's still, I think, that kind of brooding depth that Impossible Weight had, but also kind of more on the Talking Heads side, or just that fun, open road, free-spiritedness that I was trying to get towards.
It seems like you're describing therapy through the process.
Yeah, I think that's always songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask before we go into more gear is, you got a chance to open for Pearl Jam this year. How was that?
Incredible.
Yeah.
We actually debuted a lot of the songs off of Billboard Heart
in
arenas, which was wild because, I mean, who does that? I don't know. Who gets asked to play an arena with Pearl Jam? That was crazy. We were, very honored to go and do that. And then we just played some of these songs for the first time there and kind of workshopped some things, and I think it was for the best.
Yeah, how did that shape anything in terms of that workshopping?
I mean, I'm not one to always base an audience's reception of a song. There have been plenty of songs that I'm so glad I kept that maybe didn't go so well at first, that just kind of needed to be workshopped a little bit more, and others where it's oh wow, the crowd response was so wild, and they end up being songs that are fun but maybe not my favorites.
Okay.
But I think that after playing them night after night, it's you can feel in your body when a chorus feels good or a part is hitting. And so we just kind of try to follow energy back into the studio.
Is that change your perception of a song when it's something your least favorite, but you see the connection the audience has with it?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, the best kind of litmus test for all of that is, I often think about Nick Cave talking about just how painful it is to sing lyrics he's ashamed of, or I wish I'd have tightened that up, or things like that. I try not to base it on audience perception. It's just does this resonate with me? Is this going to stand the test of time? And so, but also bonus if it resonates with others too.
I think that's an honest path to follow, in the sense that you can always be proud of what you've done, even if it's something that maybe you feel it doesn't stand up to Billboard Heart or the next album that's going to come out, Deep Sea Diver.
Totally.
It's a way that you can always be proud of something.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next guitar. Let's, another friend here, I think, right here, the Built.
Yeah.
So I feel like, if I'm correct on the last time we talked, this is kind of a, your attempt to have a lighter Johnny Greenwood guitar.
It was...
Because the Starcaster is an anchor.
It really is. That I had to stop bringing the Starcaster out because I think it's 10 pounds, something that was actually hurting my back.
Yeah.
This guy, I was trying to do... I mean, this is a guitar that pre-existed that I found that Built makes that felt like a perfect marriage between the Starcaster and my Jazzmaster. I put wide range Lawler humbuckers in it, and it has still some bite. It's growlier than the Jazzmaster, but it feeds back really well and has that body that you want.
That's cool. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's cool that the wide range are because they're tele pickups, wide range humbuckers are.
Yeah.
That they come in the Jazzmaster format or the Jazzmaster.
I think it's this custom thing that they do at Lawler.
Okay.
Yeah. I could be wrong,
it's rad.
But I love these. Yeah.
Can we hear a little bit more maybe? Are you using all three pickups positions?
Yeah, typically in bridge. So for a song, Tiny Threads, nice clean. And then I have kind of... that stuff. So
do you ever mess
big
with
kind of My Bloody Valentine stuff?
Oh, but yeah the shoegaze.
Yep.
Now are you ever using the dials during a show, the dials and
I
the
don't
switch?
Really, I'm constantly doing this though.
Yeah.
Bridge to neck, and then on noisy nights, middle.
To calm things down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there any set songs that you use this for, or is it kind of a mood thing when
it's changing guitars? Yeah, Tiny Threads is kind of the more gothic-y.
Okay.
But it has that growl. The jazz doesn't have that. This is very special to this. Just without, I think there's barely any overdrive on it.
Well, right on. I know that we talked about this one at length, so again, check out that rig rundown we had, because that was a fun one. But there's a new friend in the fold. Should we be introduced?
Let's do it. This is new for me, bringing out three guitars. and it's gonna get dangerous. I'm gonna start wanting to do more. But
what do you normally come out with before this?
Before this, I think it was two.
Okay.
Just like the Starcaster and the Jazzmaster.
All right.
But so when I, this is Trent. It's a build out of UK. Elliot Trent makes these. And he hit me up on Instagram and was like, hey, I would love to send you a guitar. And I'm always really like, I want to make sure that I'm never taking something that I'm not going to use. And he gave me enough information about it where I was like, that sounds really cool. And I have never had a guitar with P90s.
Okay.
So when I got this, I asked him to model it after my mom's 1972 Mercedes. It's got this classic blue with the, I love this tortoiseshell pickguard.
Yeah.
And I don't have, it's squirrely sounding. I don't have anything like this. Let's see. So this is what I wrote the song. This is the first song I wrote on this guitar was, What Do I Know?
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, it's got that bite that none of my other guitars have.
Yeah.
That is really, really pointed. I don't know why P90s didn't resonate with me until I got this guitar, but it's also like weighs like a pound, so I can just.
Yeah, I picked it up and helped you get it on stage.
Day,
yeah.
You know?
I had to double check to make sure I was grabbing it all right, because I'd fly out of my hands. It was so light.
Yeah, I know.
But you talk about P90s, one of your old bosses, James Mercer, big P90 guy.
Yeah, what was that, the Les Paul Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so never had a connection with it while you were working with the Shins.
I don't think I ever played James's guitar. I always loved the way it sounded.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I had much experience. I think I was just like so gravitated towards single coil pickups for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, ah, that's not my sound. But now it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While how it inspired the first song on the new record in terms of you writing, does gear often inspire songs? Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will just sometimes just get new gear, not exclusively guitars, but like drum machines or synthesizers. They don't have to be pricey. It's just something that's new that comes into the fold. There's like endless amount of creativity you can have with it.
Yeah.
You don't have that kind of ownership over it yet where you're just like, I know what this thing does.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, what does it do? And I think that having that approach leads to curiosity and good songwriting at times.
Now, it doesn't really apply to guitars, although it probably could in certain models, but are you a menu diver, like when it comes to pedals, or do you just dive in and figure it out on
the
fly?
I'm a feel person. I definitely don't like deep dives in pedals that are like really clinical. I will do it. I have, you know, scientifically put this beast of a pedal board together. I feel like I'm creeping on Adam for More on Drugs. I need like two boards now, but it does have its own zip code. There's a lot of MIDI things happening where I'll be a computer dork about that stuff, but like, if I am such a tactile person, like I just want to feel and see things and use my hands. Yeah,
and kind of find happy accidents. That's always cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Run into a cool sound on accident.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm John.
Chris.
And I'm Barry.
And this is the Rig Rundown team, and we're sponsored by
D'Addario.
Actually, I think it's pronounced D'Addario.
It's D'Addario, but no matter how you say it, we know it stands for quality. Do we maybe want to get back on the Jazzmaster or guitar of choice to go through the pedals?
Absolutely. Let me do Jazzmaster.
Okay. And while you're doing that, I'll tee it up so we can start on the pedal board.
Great.
Is Emergency is probably one of the more fun riffs, if I can use that verb or adjective.
Yep.
And let's hear it, and then you can tell us what you've got going on the pedal board.
Yeah, so this would be the Emergency riff. Make sure. Yeah, I'll do it on this one.
So what do we got tonally going in the recipe there?
Tonally, this one's a simple one. This is a new addition to my board. It's the Benson Germanium preamp. He kind of has like now his legendary like normal preamp pedal, which everyone loves.
Yeah.
I love that pedal. I definitely resonated with the Germanium one even more. It just has, I don't even know how to describe it. It's got a little bit extra on the overdrive, and I pretty much like turned off all the bass on it, because I wanted it to be a little bit more high gain and like a treble boost.
Yeah.
And then I'm just running it with the JHS compression, the pulp and peel. It's kind of always on that channel.
Okay.
I love it.
And well, let's dive right into it because it's sitting there, is the Benson Signature Jessica Dobson pedal.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I think it was a few years back, maybe 3 years ago, Benson called me up and was like, in his voice was, hey, want to make a pedal together? And I was like, yeah, dude, let's go. Like, okay. And so we just kind of tweaked it. Actually, that was one of the things we tweaked on the, when I was out on the Pearl Jam tour.
Okay.
I basically told him that I wanted to kind of smash together my favorite fuzz tones and echoes. And Billy's like, the Memory Man Deluxe, the old school one, has been on my board for forever.
Yeah.
And I'm always kind of running at times for certain solos, like the delay before the overdrive. I think we talked about this in the last rig rundown. And so what's really awesome about the fuzz echo is, depending on how you switch it on, there's green mode or orange mode. Green mode is the fuzz first, orange mode's the echo first.
Okay.
So you're running them in opposite ways, and you can do no echo at all. It's a fantastic gated fuzz too. I kind of wanted to pay homage to like the fuzz factories. Mm. It doesn't have as many options as a fuzz factory would.
Yeah.
It doesn't get as weird, but it still has some choppiness, and it also can be like a treble booster or that thick My Bloody Valentine fuzz, especially when you turn the echo all the way up and have long repeats and long delays. There's so many things you can do with this pedal. It's kind of wild, actually.
What do you like about having the reverse, not just only as an option on this pedal, but just in general, thinking about it in terms of like your layout of the pedals, is having the reverb behind or after or ahead of
the
fuzz?
Well, I think for people that don't want some fussiness, like I have with this beast, the ES8, and they just want on the fly stuff, I think it's kind of rad. Like, it's kind of a one-stop shop. You could just bring a pedal if all you're doing, if you have some reverb on an amp and you just want a little bit of echo, a little dirty slap, or you want to go wild.
Like,
it's pretty easy to manipulate on the fly. I even put, the way I have it on my board, it's not totally accessible, but for someone that was like, had it normal, you could mess with, I do a lot of like, with my feet kind of changing things, and I guess you could do that too.
But. Yeah. But tonally, what do you like about being able to switch the order, the fuzz into the reverb into fuzz?
Such a dramatically different tone with the echo first. It's like getting compressed and distorted, and it sounds like this like reverse pinwheel kind of going crazy. And then the other way around, it's a little more psych rock, maybe like if the echo's after the fuzz.
Can we hear both?
Like absolutely.
Front and back?
This is orange mode with the echo before. So you can also stand on it and it oscillates, which is
cool.
Awesome. And then the other way, so this is green mode, and like I would probably run some cleaner delays, maybe a little less echo, and lean on more on the fuzz on this one. This is no echo, you could just have fuzz. So here's like a super gated sound. That
sounds, I love that.
Yeah, there's so many different options. I feel like I still have more room to explore, but I love the pedal. I can speak really freely about it because it's something that we made, we tested, we made a bunch of tweaks to it, and I feel like it's just very versatile and fun.
I think it's cool too, because when bands do this, is that you have them for sale, I believe, at your merch table, right?
We do,
Yeah, so that's always cool when someone has a signature product. It's probably clunky to carry on signature guitars, but like a pedal, it's cool because I'm sure you got some guitar playing fans.
Yep.
Yeah,
totally.
Geek out on bends and stuff.
Absolutely.
Where should we go from here in terms of what's on the board?
Well, let me do this.
So normally you're kind of doing orange mode.
Yep. Normally it's orange mode. So I think like these guys have been on my board for forever. The Sarno Earth Drive is so fantastic. I think he has a mini model of that now.
Yeah, it's actually in the back of your amp.
Yep. Yeah, I think. Yeah. I know he has. It's just like the most transparent, fantastic overdrive. It's my favorite. And then I love Chase Bliss. I love this Brothers pedal. It just is like kind of my second gain stage. Little fuzz. all kinds of things you can do with that. I have the germanium boost. I guess I just love germanium.
Yeah. Love for silicon?
I guess no. I do too. I love this boost. It's not the most transparent one. It's got like a little zhuzh on top, but it gets you where you need to go. And then, let's see, good old Pog, you know, for those beautiful chord organs things.
How does that work with, I know you got a bandmate that's running the Prophet here next to me. Like, how are you using the Pog in conjunction with what she's
doing? So, like, one of the songs on the new record, Shovel, I don't do a lot of organy type stuff, okay. But I'll do things like... It's got mean tone to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That is a very unique sound to this record. And then moving on, I just am such a fan of the Diamond Memory Lane. I feel like I want to make a mini pedal board because Sarno has the little guy Diamond's making mini pedals.
Yeah.
I love mini pedals. Like next time, if we ever do another one, I'm just going to, like, it's going to be this big.
All the itty bitty, like Micro Machines version
of
like, pedals.
Break my back, yeah. but just so pleasing. The mod on this is so beautiful. I should turn it on. That will be like better. Here's just the Diamond. I think the feedback is really pleasing. Of like the Strymon El Capistan, but it has its own thing going on.
How are you using that in like contrast to the Deluxe Memory Man?
It's so much cleaner than the Memory Man is mostly just like a slap sound. I usually don't. It's like set it and forget it. This guy, I'm constantly kind of tapping things in. I like that one because you can like seamlessly switch from eighth notes to quarter,
okay.
which I do a lot. And I'll run them like opposite directions. Sometimes I run both at the same time. But for that, the reason that I actually made this pedal with Benson is because I was on the song Impossible Weight. There's a part where I turn the mix up and the feedback all the way down, and it has like this reverse kind of sounding thing where it's like. So.
That song in particular has like a split personality tone wise.
It really does.
Yeah.
And then Blue Skies, always on every board I have. It's just kind of old faithful. It sounds to me like the most real plate in a pedal that I have.
And you're a plate person.
I'm a plate person.
You know, when it comes to hall or all that, you're always plate.
I used to have a super reverb and I would turn the spring all the way up. That was like kind of in the early days.
Yeah.
When I would play only hollow bodies and it kind of had more of a 50s tone. But yeah, this one always also has MIDI now, which I guess I'm a MIDI dork now. But so this changes it. And let's see, is this on? Yeah. Oh, it's not even on. I can't show you things right now properly. Hold on, here we go. I just think it's really pleasing. I like a dark plate.
Yeah.
Yep. And then probably the most like memorable or used pedal on this is I love to turn the Blue Sky like really wide, washy. Pleasure Trem 5000 is my favorite tremolo, and it's never left my board.
I've never heard of that pedal, other than the other time we did the Rundown.
So, yeah.
Like, I've never heard of that pedal or brand.
Yeah, it's just beat to hell
right
now.
How did you get to become friends with it?
I think I bought it around the same time I got this, and it can do triangle or square wave. It's not a tame tremolo. It has a lot of character, and I just love that really, like, what's that song? Bang, bang, I shot you down.
Oh, yeah.
Bang. Like, where it's so deep.
Kill
it's
Bill
like
style.
In your, like, chest cavity. That's how this one feels. You know? You can go even more extreme if you go square.
Big Johnny Marr, Smith's, you know, How Soon Is Now fan too, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You can do all that stuff. I think I need two cabs to run that song.
Yeah.
A new addition is the Black Fountain, which is a really interesting pedal that I just picked up from Old Blood Noise Endeavors.
Okay.
They were kind enough to show me around their space, and it's awesome in Oklahoma City. And
Brady's a good dude.
He really is.
Yeah.
And first of all, aesthetically, I love this pedal. And secondly, I haven't deep dived into this one, but kind of just made some presets over the last week. I've only had it for a week, so. Love. Hey, let me turn
these
guys
them.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost is like the Memory Man, but does way weirder things. It has two delays that you can run at different times.
You can get trouble with that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get away from you in a way. Like,
for
the oscillation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this guy.
Oh, I like that.
And it also self oscillates, I think, if you hold that down, but I could be wrong. I'm, like I said, I'm still learning. It's a really awesome pedal.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go home and spend more time with it. And then line six has the classic DL4 that I put at the end of my chain currently right now for mostly looping, because
okay.
We've just been doing more kind of can kraut improvised jams during the set.
Oh, cool.
So we'll just, now, I could just play a whole show with just the Black Fountain and the line six. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but miss out on all this fun?
Yeah, who cares about these? No, I'm kidding. my pedal board is growing. Oh yeah, I forgot about the 29 pedals.
Yeah.
So the 29 Yuna, I think is how it's pronounced. It's got like a magic to it, some sauce that like, it's hard to describe. Some people say like, you could just get an EQ pedal just as easy with a buffer.
Yeah.
What's so special about it? I don't know. Like, I just really like this pedal. It has the sauce, and I would rather have one than two pedals.
Yeah.
So I usually use it with the, whatever the B stands for, which I think is bright. I don't use it on this guitar normally, but I don't even know if I'm plugged into this channel. Oh, I know what to do.
Got the ES8 here.
Yeah.
The old switcher.
Well, let's see. Here we go. So here, let me get up actually really quick. So you can kind of hear that brightness kick in. I don't necessarily need it for the Jazzmaster, but the bill is really dark. And
yeah.
So I normally just turn it on for that, kind of a set it and forget it for that guitar, and it just gives it a sparkle that, sure, I could, you know, kick on like a 5-band parametric EQ, but that's dorky. I'd rather have that.
Why only get 5? I feel like you could get like a 10-band.
Sure. Yeah.
You overdo it. Now, I remember when you spoke to me last time, you had just gone to the ES8 because you were kind of holding true to the old school
doing all that. And it's fine when you're not lead singing, and I'm sure I could still do it.
Yeah.
But to be able to connect with people and just look up and tap without looking down, and it does all your changes.
And you're programmed it, I assume, all yourself?
I have, yeah. And it's definitely been quite a help for me to be able to connect more. Yeah, with people.
I bet.
Yeah.
And speaking of connecting with people, I want to give a shout out to the Guitar Solo Box down below.
Yeah. It now has our album cover on it.
Yeah.
It used to say Guitar Solo Box. I think
whose idea was that?
It was mine.
Okay.
I thought it was too cheesy at first because it was like kind of a joke, because we just kept putting album covers on it year after year. And then for the Pearl Jam thing, we're like, let's do something fun and different. It was an off-cycle tour for us. Like, what if it just says Guitar Solo Box? And it's kind of that Chekhov's gun of like, well, you showed it, like, you're gonna stand on it.
Yeah.
And I try to leave some suspense in the set for it.
But. Yeah. So you do get on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Killer.
I do backflips off of it.
I don't believe that.
Just like Benson, whatever the hell his name is. No, I'm just kidding.
Speaking of Benson, we do want to give a shout out because not only the pedals you got here, but the amp behind me. What are we plugging into?
That's a Benson Chimera. It's been modded. I like 112s for recording, but 212s live, I just want a little more air pushed.
Mm.
But I don't want the super high wattage. I've had that amp for, I think, 9 years. It's really beat up. I love it. It's fantastic.
I'm going to use a word that makes me sound smarter than I am because I'm an idiot, is topology. I think the original Camara has six V6s. Do you know if Chris changed anything?
It might be six V6.
Okay, so it's still that true to the original design.
Maybe my first one was EL84s. Okay. I had like one of his first prototypes for the Monarchs.
Okay.
That I brought out with Shins. And then this has been a Deep Sea Diver staple.
Now, I know that we talked about the Shins. You alluded to working with Beck, being in his band. And I know you have friendships with Wilco.
Yeah.
Obviously, Pearl Jam is with the opening. What do you get, and how do you find out about new gear? Is it through friends that introduce you things, or do you go to the guitar store? Are you on guitar forums? How do you find out about new gear get down those rabbit holes?
I feel like in the past I would have said guitar stores, and I wish that I spent more time in them. I think people have gotten so good at doing videos online for that like don't feel cheesy, and they're informative while also being creative and artistic. And so mostly it's probably Instagram.
Really?
It's just like people tagging things, or I follow certain gear companies that I think one of the things that shifted that is a good shift is companies are supporting companies.
Yes.
They're doing a lot of cross, not branding, but you know what I'm saying? Collaborations.
Yeah.
Chase Bliss doing a lot of things with other, I think they did some stuff with Benson, and there's plenty of examples of this. And it's a lot less cutthroat, competitive.
Yeah.
And so you just hear about more things because of that.
Yeah. I appreciate the conduit of information in that regard. You know, social media can be a plus or a negative, but that way I would say it's a plus that a lot more people have avenues to be found and to help each other out in that way.
Definitely.
I do want to give a shout out because we have our trusty 57 that everyone's hearing so far, but I've never seen one of these Shure mics on your cab. On a rig rundown yet, because I think it's pretty new yet. Can you tell me about your experience with the Shure? I think it's called the Nexodyne.
Yep, they have this new Nexodyne line, and they sent us all these wonderful mics. We've got a bunch of things on the drums now, some sweet condensers, overheads, and my favorite thing being these extremely low-profile guitar cab mics that just, I hate tripping over things on stage.
Yeah.
And so when we first tried this out, like I just was like, oh yep, it does the thing, it hits the mids the way I want it to capture.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll do two mics on a cab for live, but I found that this guy does what I need to. And I'm in ears, which a lot of guitar players complain about. It's like this isn't the tone, but I've never had an issue with that.
Is that how guitar players sound to you?
Yeah, all of them do. We all do.
Monotone.
Like tone.
The tone guy.
Yeah.
So under the microscope of in ears, you dig how that sound.
Absolutely.
That mic captures your sound.
Yep. And I have. I love to run. I'm not wireless currently because I plugged into that channel, but I have. Their new wireless guitar rig, which is awesome. I am so sorry that the actual name of it is escaping me, but it's great. Nothing's ever dropped on me, which is like the biggest fear of doing wireless.
Yeah, were you wireless prior to this? Like maybe because of Pearl Jam with the big stage, or were you kind of wireless for years?
I think for the last 10 years I have been.
It's
part of the drama of the set. Like Peter, my partner, who also plays drums in the band, he is just like, I want you to be free on some of these songs to go in the audience or go in the guitar box, and just this is the guitar I use the most. So I used to think wireless was cheesy when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then I started playing and I'm like, this is the best.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to be wrapped up in cables.
Yeah.
So
one final question. When you and Peter and the crew are on tour, who watches Henry?
Oh, my dude, my beagle boy.
Yeah, I'm a dog dude. A lot of guys on PG staff are dog dudes.
Yeah.
Shout out to my dog, Fancy. Wonderful pit bull. But who watches Henry?
Our very dear friend Alex Baranek, whose dad also makes guitars, Baranek guitars.
Yeah.
And Alex is all you want is a trustworthy person to watch. Like they're like your children.
For sure.
So Henry is being well taken care of.
Has he ever been a tour dog? A tour pup?
Yeah, when we do West Coast or shorter runs, he is. But he's at the merch booth on a shirt right now. He's always on a shirt. He just kind of moseys his way into our music all the time.
Well, yeah. Jessica, I know we got to get out of here. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. It was such a
pleasure. It's awesome seeing you in person. And shout outs to Fancy and Henry. You guys stay safe and enjoy your time on the couch.
Strings have a lot to do with your tone. The NYXLs for me have always tonally been great. I really need that friction to feel my slides. I depend on that friction even for accuracy.